This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Le'ilu Rabbi Shmuel Chanoich Ben Gershon Zecher Tzadik Livrocha.
Chof Aleph Mal Cheshvan, Tuesday the 6th of November, Rabbi Yosef Perlman, chapter and verse, part 5.
Yeah. I know it says part 3 on the front, but we only got a little way down the part 3, so it would have been subdivided. As we started 5 minutes late, I'm assuming I'm allowed another 5 minutes at the end, so please don't get fidgety. We are continuing with the investigation of the letters, the words, and the psukim. And remember at the beginning we discussed the Kedusha in the Osios, each individual letter, and then we looked at the combination of letters into words, and then the combination of words into psukim, and last time we were talking about the relationship between the psukim and the words in them, and discussed the significance of the longest and the shortest pasuk, and the messages which these psukim have to teach us. Now, although it says part 3 in the note in front of you, there are one or two more if anybody still wants them. You may have them from last time. We are actually in part Beis of this particular sheet, and we reached the situation of dealing with the letters in the Aleph Beis, which are comprised in Psukim. We've already mentioned, I think, in the past that there are certain parts of the Torah which have got a letter omitted, and similarly in the Davening. If you remember, we talked about the Parshas Bikurim, which has no Samach in it. We may have mentioned the Brocha of Yaakov Tehud, which has got no Zion in it. And we mentioned in Shmoneh Esrei, there's no final Fay, with one exception. And we've mentioned that in the first Brocha of Shmoneh Esrei, there is no ordinary Fay, or no Fay at all, in fact. And this all has a significance for the letters, and the psukim teach us things. We're now going to have a look at those psukim which have all the letters. Now, there are 26 such psukim in Tanakh, which have got every single letter in it. The shortest of those psukim is about 12 words in Zechariah. If you have a look at your sheet, that I've produced a few spare. I copied this out from a particular Sefer, and with one or two little notes. The Sefer got it wrong, it only had 25, and that's why you'll find the additional one, which is inscribed at the bottom. It left one out by accident. But there are, in fact, 26 such Pesukim in Tanakh, which is, again, significant, because the number 26 obviously has great significance. And these Pesukim, where they occur, they have clearly got a message. Because if all the letters of the Aleph Beis are included, that is a good sign. That means that it's coming to assist us. So just to take the example of the only two Pesukim in the whole of Chumash which have got all the Aleph Beis, the other 24 are in Nach. The two Pesukim in Chumash, one is in Beshalach, chapter Tezayin, Posuk Tezayin, easy to remember, 16:16, and that relates to the Mon. Well, obviously the Mon kept us alive, and all the letters of the Aleph Beis wanted to participate in making sure that we should have Parnosa. Mon is not only food, it's also the Parnosa from which they live from, and clearly this is a very important thing in anyone's life, that they should have a good Parnosa and plenty of food to eat of the right sort, and that's what the Mon did. So all the letters of the Aleph Beis wanted to be mitstarfos into that posuk. Similarly, the second posuk is in Vos Chanan, which is actually mentioned in Haggadah Shel Pesach. We say that, oh Haniso, the posuk which is telling us, where else do you find that a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings out a nation from inside another nation, a nation which would never release anybody, yet a Kodesh Baruch Hu brought us out from Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, the whole of the Chof Beis Osis of the Aleph Beis have joined together in order to give us this brocha. On the other hand, you do find that if Chal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom misbehave and have to go into Golus, the same 22 letters of the Aleph Beis which will give us brocha, unfortunately can give us klala too, because they want to put us right. And that's why we find in Megillas Eicha, the four of the five chapters follow the Aleph Beis. Each posuk begins with another letter of the Aleph Beis. It's as if to tell us, look, we, the Aleph Beis, want to help you, Yidden. We want you to behave yourself. But if you don't, then I'm afraid you're going to take the consequences. The punishment which you're going to get is actually a tikkun for us, because it's going to be, if possible, be Makariv the Mashiach. Now that deals with the Chof Beis Osius, and each of these cases, I haven't looked through each one, but I'm sure if you have a look at each case where it occurs, there will be some significance. What is actually fascinating, however, there is only one posuk in the whole of Tanakh which not only has the Chof Beis Osius, it also has the five final letters. That's 27 letters in total. It's a remarkable thing, and what's even more remarkable, if you look at that posuk, you will not find much in the Mephoshim about it. It's absolutely amazing. I looked through all the main Mephoshim on the posuk in Tanakh, which has got all the 27, and it's not mentioned. Why? That's a puzzle. Maybe someone can explain why nobody is mentioning it there. But clearly, there's only once in Tanakh that you've got not only the 22 letters, but the other five letters. It's a most beautiful quiz question. Anybody know where it is? Well, look at in front of you, you'll see. It's in Sephania. Anybody know where Sephania is? It's in Treosa. Baruch Hashem, somebody knows that much at least. So it's in Treosa, and it's one of the, as its name sounds, Sephania means the hidden one of Hashem, Tzofen. It's a bit hidden away in the recesses of Tanakh. You know, people are not familiar with it. But there is that single posuk which has 27 letters. Now, recently, I was dealing with a Inyan of the Bris, and you'll find, what is the significance of the number 27? We just heard a whole arichas on the significance of number. This, just as the significance in the number 22, which is to come to help Klal Yisrael and support them, 27 must be even more so, because you've got all the finals as well. You've got all the osias. You've got what? Shem and Zan Zoch. Thank you very much for coming to Hanukkah. Zoch is connected, absolutely pure. There's something special about it. In fact, 27 is the Mispar of Refuah. It's known as the Mispar HaRefuah. Mispar HaRefuah means it's the number which is used when you want to get healed. So where is the case, sort of the first case in life where you need Refuah is Bris. Well, this is a beautiful Bris drosha. If you look at the number of psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha in the Parshas HaBris, 27 psukim. So there's 27 psukim there. Which posuk in Chumash talks about removing kol hamachlos shesamti b'Mitzrayim? We say it in Krishna before we go to bed. There are 27 words in that posuk. And there's not for no reason. There's 27 words in that posuk. L'dovad Hashem Ori V'Yishi is Tehillim. Perik Chov Zayin, and anybody remembers we talked about the fact that we say L'dovad Ori is because it's Refuah Kodem Lamako. It's the Refuah for Klal Yisrael. That's why we say it during Elul rather than the Mispar HaTeshuva. Again, it's number 27. You find that there's one bracha in Shmoyne Esra which has 27 words in Nusach Ashkenaz only. Now, I've mentioned this before, that Nusach Ashkenaz is far more attuned to numerology than Nusach Sfarad is. I'm not denigrating Nusach Chas V'Shalila, wouldn't think of doing that. It's got its own segulas and its own beauty. But anybody who turns and says you've got to give up your Nusach Ashkenaz and learn Nusach Sfarad, or daven Nusach Sfarad, because it's more authentic, is losing a great deal. Because in Nusach Ashkenaz we've got our own segulas. And one of the segulas is the numerology in the brachas is very, very meduyak. And guess, Refo'enu has 27 words, Nusach Ashkenaz only. Because Refo'enu is the Birchas HaRefuah. So we see again and again a repetition of the numerological significance of letters and words, etc. So, what we've seen is that we've got Psukim with the whole of the Aleph, but only one Posuk with the finals as well. That's the pasuk in Zephaniah. You can see it there. Lachein chakun. If you look in Zephaniah, you'll see it's appropriate. Because after telling us about the terrible times that Klal Yisrael had to go through and the golus they went through, the last chapter starts talking about the Melchemes Gog and Magog and what the result will be. Lachein chaku. If you look at that pasuk, it's the introduction, basically, to the ultimate geula. What better than having 37 letters in that particular pasuk, which relate to the whole of the Aleph Beis? So we're seeing again that the Aleph Beis join in with the psukim to make a composite whole. Right, let's move on from that to the next point I've mentioned. You find there's one place in Tanakh, this was told to me by, I think, my Chavrus and Oshwat some time ago, that, or somebody like that, I can't remember where it came from. I'm not sure whether there are more psukim, but there's one posuk in Tanakh which starts off with a word of two letters. The next word has three letters. The next word has four letters. The next word has five letters. The next word has six letters. And the last word has seven letters. Six word psukim, each word having one more letter than previous. You've all heard this one, you all know it. You'll say it this Shabbos. You say it every Shabbos during the winter. No? You don't know it? Al Gabi Choshu Choshim Herichu Lama'anisom. Al, two letters, Gabi, three, Choshu, four, Choshim, five, Herichu, six, Lamanisom, seven. I don't know whether there's any other posuk in Tanakh, maybe somebody can enlighten me, but there's obviously got to be some significance. Why should we have a posuk? Is it just coincidence? Is it just circumstantial? That's not good enough. If the posuk starts off with two, then it goes to three, then it goes to four, then the words, which are the serif of the letters, creating the posuk, clearly have a significance. And it's obvious. It must mean we're progressing somehow. So you have to look at the posuk, see the context, and you'll see what's happening there is we're building up. There's a build-up. And the posuk itself is telling you that. Two, three, four, five, six. Seven. Yeah, there we are. So again, the psukim of Tanakh are not just stam. They're there with a deeper significance. There's a purpose behind them. Now, also, we talked about letters and words, etc. By the same token, there are a number of psukim in Tanakh which begin and end with the same letter. And again, that's not a mikra ba'almo. Obviously, there are many psukim which start with a vav and end with a vav. That's obvious because there's so many vavim, and many psukim start va. Most psukim in Chumash start with the letter vav. And we all know the significance in the Megillas Esther, which starts off with vav of vayehi and ends off with a vav of zaro, to teach us that everything is a continuity, but that Hashem is in charge. It looks natural. Megillas Esther looks as if it's all just a story, a teva going through like a sipur ba'alma, starting with the beginning and going on. But in fact, we know that Hashem is in charge of everything. And that's the whole purpose of the Megillah. Esther, it's Nistar. Now that's in a whole Sefer. But you find also in Psukim the same thing. One of the most beautiful ones is one which we say every Thursday in the Shir Shalyom. Eidus b'Yehoseh Somo, Svas lo yedati Eshma, the posuk ends. Now, it's quite rare to have a posuk beginning and ending with the letter I. Now, I don't know of another posuk, it may well be, after all, so many psukim. Sorry? You got an
Eidus.
You know the I in the Shivim, right. Now, the posuk is telling us that that Yosef was given the hay, Eidus b'Yehoseh Hosef Somo. The Malach came because Yosef didn't know the languages. He was going to meet Paro the next day, and Paro was going to test him. And one of the Ginunei Malchus, one of the symbols of being Roy for the Malucha, was you had to be competent in all 70 languages. That was necessary. And Yosef didn't know them. He hadn't been taught. He didn't go to a secular school. He was in the school of Yaakov Avinu and he'd learned Torah. He hadn't learned the Shivim Lashonis yet. So the Malach Gavriel comes and listen, tomorrow you're going to meet the king and he's going to test you on them. You better learn them. So Abbas says, I can't. How can I learn 70 languages in one night? Ah, says the Malach, I'll put a hay in your name. Instead of being called Yosef, you'll now be called Yehosef. And that hay will give you the koyach to learn all Shivim Lashonis. That's a well-known medrash. So where do we get it from that he learned 70 languages? Well, it says the Al-Qur'an, I can't remember what the earlier source than that. Eidos is an ayin at the beginning, and Eshmo is an ayin at the end. That's in the Remez, that that posik which is talking about Eidos Behosef Sam, Svas Lo Yodati Eshmo, I'm going to learn some more languages. 70 of them. That's what happened. In fact, poor old Paro found out that he knew one less than Yosef, because Yosef knew Lashon HaKodesh, if you remember. And he had to make him to have the Shavua. And there was a whole mice there that Paro made Yosef swear not to divulge that he didn't, that Paro himself didn't know one of the 71st language, Lashon HaKodesh. But it's interesting that the posuk begins and ends with an ayin. I'm told, is a good quiz question for you, that there are only two pesukim in the whole of Tanakh which begin and end with the letter Tes. Rather than ask you to say them out, I have actually got them in front of me somewhere. Let me read them out. It's one in Tehillim, chapter Tes. No, beg your pardon. Not chapter Tes. Chapter Kuf Yud Beis Posukav Tov Ish Chaynin Umalva Yechalkev Devorav B'Mishpat. And a similar one in Mishli, Toiv Ma'at Bistaka, Merov, something or other, Merov, Tavuas Below Mishpat. Merov Below Mishpat. So those are the two places that I'm aware of in Tanakh which begin and end with the letter Tes. I don't know any Pasuk Tanakh which begins and ends with the letter Samach, but somebody should perhaps make a list of these. I don't know whether there is such a list somewhere. There's one?
No, but I said those two both start with Tov and finish with Mishpat.
Both, yeah.
They both start with the same words as well.
Tov and Mishpat, yeah, they're both, so that's right, they're both the same, yeah. It's to do with Tov, obviously, Tes represents Tov, and Mishpat, of course, we say, Oshiva Shov Tenu, Kvori Shona, it's without Mishpat, we have, it says, V'hasim Meni Yogo and Vanocha, it's a big problem. Why in that particular bracha, Shemoneser, do we say, V'hasim Meni Yogo and Vanocha, Davka there? What's special? Answers, if you haven't got Mishpat, you end up with Taurus. There has to be Mishpat. So Mishpat is good. And Tes is good. So that is definitely relevant to that posuk. And wherever you find the first and the last letters are the same, there is a significance for the whole of the posuk. You've just got to work it out. As I say, I haven't made a whole Rishima of whole of Tanakh. Vavs, there must be dozens of them. But the other letters, there aren't that many. And you need to know why. I've just given you the tesses, and I've given you an ayin. I'm not saying it's comprehensive. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Torah is made up of letters, words, and psukim, and then chapters. And that is significant in many, many different ways. So we've looked at all the letters of the alphabet being there. We've looked at letters being omitted from the posuk, which tells you a significance. We've looked at the structure of the words in the posuk, and we've looked at the beginning and last letters. So there are many, many ways that you can learn from Torah which don't quite meet the eye from the simple pshat. You've got to look a little bit more deeply into it, and it's definitely clearly Torah min HaShemayim. So now that brings us now to the next stage. We've talked about psukim, we've talked about words, we've talked about letters, and also the tziruf of letters and words together. Now, let's look at chapters. Now, when we talk about chapters, you've got to be very, very careful. Chapters are sometimes called perokim, and they're sometimes called sedorim, and very often they're called, in Yiddish, kapitlach. When I was a little boy, my father would say, Gei zogin a kapitel Tehillim. That's, kapitel was the chapter of Tehillim. But a kapitel is not the same as a perek or a seder. Right? Although it can be. And let's get it clear. The kapitlach are nothing to do with us. They come, I think, from the Vulgate. It's quite clear that the chapters that we have got are not authentic. That doesn't mean to say that we can't learn something from them, and it doesn't mean to say that they haven't got some significance, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged the world in such a way that there are kapitlach, even though that it's not a Jewish concept, it's got to be of significance, because Hashem wouldn't have allowed it to happen otherwise. Let me explain.
Sorry, does that refer to Tehillim as well? Where we specific?
It could be Tehillim too. I'll tell you why. We have 150 chapters in Tehillim. And that is accepted by many people, the Kuf Nun Psok. However, it's well known that the Gemara in Brachas tells us that Ashrei V'lom Rogshu is Perek Echad. Why? Because Kol Perek, which was Choshev to David HaMelech, he hischil v'siyem with the same word. So he started with Ashrei and he finished with Ashrei. The first chapter of Tehillim does not finish with Ashrei. Lom HaRogshu does finish with Ashrei. So therefore, it's quite clear from the Gemara that Ashrei Lom HaRogshu could be one chapter. And Tosis discusses that in Brochus. And similarly, like for example, Ash Tehillo LaDovid finishes Tehillos Hashem. Ashrei, which is the most important chapter perhaps of the whole of Tehillim, starts and ends with Tehillo. And according to many, that's why it's called Tehillim. Because Ashrei is the most important capital of the whole of Tehillim. It starts and begins with the word Tehillah, and that's how we got the word Tehillim. Why is it not called Zmiris? Why is it not called Shirim? Why do we call it Tehillim? Or Tehillos? That's another separate question. But it should. Why do they get that? So some say, because Tehillah is the most beautiful of all the words, it's the most comprehensive, because it includes Tefillah, it includes Zema, it includes all the rest, and the Halil, etc. But in fact, it could be because the Hillel LaDavid is the main, because Kol Sha'omer, Tehillah LaDavid, Sholosh Pomim Bayom, is Zeh Bein HaOlam Habo. That's why we say Ashrei three times a day. And that could be how it got the name Tehillim. However, there's another problem in Tehillim. In Tehillim, you've got one chapter of two verses. Hallelujah, as we say before Hodu. And it's a principle, you can't have less than three words in a posuk, and you can't have less than three psukim in a chapter. So how did it get there? So in Achanami, some people say it doesn't belong, it's part of the other chapter. It's combined. And then there's another chapter Tehillim. In fact, according to the old Masorah, there should be 147 chapters in Tehillim. Do you know why? Because it's the age of Yaakov Avinu. And many things are done, as we're going to come to a little bit shortly, that these chapters and are often, there is significance in the Mechaber, has his name hidden somewhere in it. That's an Indian. We'll come to, probably not today, it'll be part six or part seven. We'll deal with that too. You'll find that the Mechaber's name will be there. Now, David's name is in Tehillim overtly. Shlomo's name is on Koheles. You won't know where to find it. Yirmiah's name is in Eicha. The names are there, somewhere, hidden in the Sefer. So, we find, therefore, that there is significance in these inyanim, but let's go back now to the what we're talking about. Yes, so we said that Tehillim's got 147 chapters. According to others, different numbers are given. But so the reason why I came up with 147 because that is Kaminyan Kamispa Yaakov, the life of Yaakov Avinu. In fact, Yaakov Avinu is found in the Torah. You know that. Yaakov Avinu starts the Torah and finishes the Torah. Everybody knows his name ends with Yisroel. Yisroel is the Torah ends with Yisroel. But do you know where Yaakov is at the beginning of the Torah? Very simple. Sorry? But where's his name? His name is very simple. You take the first letter, which is Beis, and then the whole of creation, which is 30 psukim, all commencing with the letter Vav. 30 times Vav is 180, plus the 2 of Bereshit, 182, Gematria Yaakov. So we know that Yaakov is actually there at the beginning, Benistar, Beis, plus 30 times Vav, Bereshit Tevis is 182. But Yaakov, we mentioned about 147 also being the age of Yaakov. Well, take the first and last letter of each Sefer of Chumash, you'll get 147 in Gematria. The Beis of Bereshit with the Mem of Mitzrayim at the end of Vayechi, the Vav of Ve'elishimos with the letter at the end of Pekudei. If you add all that up, it comes to 147, which is again the ages of Yaakov. So just like we're saying the Tilmas have 147 chapters, so we find that this Merumas in the Sephorim of Chumash is Yaakov's age, and in the Rosh Tevis is his name. That's very important because Yaakov is the Bechira of us. Yaakov, we're called Yaakov, we're called Bnei Yisrael or Bnei Yaakov, in some cases Bnei Yisrael, in other cases, because that is our name. Sorry? I can't hear, sir.
The Yahin should have been connected to David much more than...
Yaakov's connected to David. Why is well, David's connected to Yaakov, obviously, to all the others. But they, obviously there's that connection. Now, I mean, it's not only Yaakov. You'll find, for example, the 123 Halalukos, which is connected to the age of Aaron HaKohen, who was in the Beis HaMikdash. You find there is significance in all these items, certainly in the numerology of it. But let's go back. What I was saying to you before was that Kapitlach are not of Jewish origin. It's actually very easy to prove. The first chapter of Chumash finishes in our way, or you got the proclamation, each day is a different is a stop. But the final stop is the end of Shabbos. Shabbos is part of the Bria. At the end of Shabbos, end of Vayechulu, you have the end of the Bria. Vayer, Vayevok, Yom HaShishi, Vayechul HaShemayim. It's all Mechubar, it's one thing. And in fact, in our, when we come to the Prokim, etc., you'll find it's connected. If you take the Kapitlach, you'll find Kapta Bay starts from Vayechulu. Now what well, you can't get more apikorsis than that. If you took it Aleph, chapter Aleph starts in Bereishis. Chapter Bay starts in Vayechulu. In Chumash, in Bereishis. In the printed Chumashim. Chapter Bay starts in Vayechulu. It's ridiculous. It's all part of the same bit. As far as we're concerned, Shabbos is a Bria. Shabbos is not something different from the Bria. As if it's all something different. So, again and again, you often find some funny things which are happening in the Kapitlach which just don't fit. And the reason they don't fit is they come from the Goyim, who just divided it up according to their understanding. They cause damage, what?
The Kapitlach that they arranged had a purpose to damage.
Purpose to damage. It could, yes, you can see that from Vayechulu. Yeah, they may well have done that with Kavona. Now, the question is though, they've done that. Why don't we go back to our chapters in Prokim? We're going to come, I'm not going to do it today, but we're going to come next time to Prokim and Sidorim, which are definitely got significance. For example, there are 175 Sidorim, which is again the age of Avraham Avinu. We tend to choose the others when we do our things in order that it should have a tzura. Just like we've got 147 chapters in Tehillim according to the authentic version, and just as we've got 123 Halalukos, there's also 175 Sidorim. However, the Kapitlach don't have any significance in that way. Now, do you know who tried to do this? The Torah Shlomo, when he wrote his monumental work, he started off, he said, I'm not going to have non-Jewish chapters, I'm going to get rid of them, because they don't belong, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to give you only the Jewish Sidorim, and I'm going to renumber everything. He started off, but he realized very quickly he was wasting his time. He said, nobody will be able to follow any longer, and therefore he did Chazorah, and he decided, I have to put the Kapitlach in. Why? Because everybody now talks, I just mentioned, B'shalach Tezayin Tezayin. I mentioned that before. Everybody talks like that. Now, once something becomes entrenched, it's extremely difficult to get rid of it. And everybody talks in that language. So he said, I've got to do it. So what did he do? He went over it again, and he put the normal chapters in brackets, so to speak. I don't know which one was in brackets, but he put our chapters in the correct way. But he said, I can't avoid putting the non-Jewish chapters in, I'm going to have to put them in, and he left them there. The question is, why did this happen? There's definitely got to be a significance. Hashem wouldn't have allowed it to happen unless it had his haskama. Just like we all say Lechor Doidi on Friday night, and anybody who doesn't say Lechor Doidi on Friday night today is more or less an apikoros. I know there are many people who don't start from Lechor Nerano, the Sfardim, the Asfardim, who just don't say Lechor Nerano, because there's a difference in Shitta between the Arizal and the Ramak as to where you start on Friday night. But I don't know of anyone who doesn't say Lechor Dodi on Friday night. Why? Well, it only came in from Rabbi Shlomo Alkibitz about 400-500 years ago, but it's become part of Yiddishkeit. In the olden days, they used to go out into the fields before Shabbos to welcome the Kala. So the Anshei Tzfas decided we'll formalize it, and it came along with Shlomo Alkibitz, and he made Lechor Dodi, and we all said. And anybody who doesn't say it, came out in Apikoros today. So why did this happen? And I can't give you the answer why the chapters happened, but what I can tell you is the same thing happened to the Chof Dalet Sforim of Tanakh. We know we've got Chof Dalet Sforim. It's in the Medrash Rabbah. It's in many places that we have 24 Sforim of Tanakh. If you count up our Sforim today, we'll end up with 26 Sforim of Tanakh. No, 27 Sforim. Oh, good, 27. We've got that number again. Because you have Shmuel is Aleph and Beis, Melachim is Aleph and Beis, and Divrei Yomim is Aleph and Beis. How on earth did that... Sorry, the 28th Sforim of Tanakh. Ezra and Nehemiah have been divided up as well. There should have been... We've got 28 today. That's also a very significant number. But every number's got its own significance. Right, let me just finish off. I came up with the following suggestion. I think I might have seen it somewhere. Sometimes, you know, you say things which you don't remember where you saw them and you think they're your own. I don't remember. It's like this. We know that the Goyim divided up these Sforim, and there must be a reason. The simple reason was it was just too big to carry one sefer around. You take Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis together, you can make a hole in your pocket. You can't carry it. So they divided into two. Same thing with Melachim, same thing with Divrei Yomim. Why did they divide up Ezra and Nehemiah? It was not because it's too big. I thought Ezra's one chap, Nehemiah's another one. We'll keep them separate. There's much more to it than that. The Gemara tells us that Nehemiah did not get a sefer of his own because he was criticized because he said, Zochar Chemiker Tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have be Makir Tov to me that I've built his base HaMikdash for him. Says the Gemara, that's a shtickle gaiva. For us, it'd be fantastic. Can you imagine you built the base of Mikdash? You go around telling everybody you built the base of Mikdash. It'd be fantastic. But for a Novi of the stature of Nehemiah to go around telling everybody he's built the base of Mikdash, it's not quite the right thing to do. So Hashem said, because you have been a shtickelbal gaiva and you have actually taken a covered for yourself, I'm removing your covered. You're not going to have a sefer with your name on it. I'm taking that covered away. And when Rashi talks about a pasuk in Nehemiah, he talks about a pasuk in Ezra. Everybody knows that Nehemiah is Ezra. And Rashi, throughout Shas, will talk about a pasuk in Ezra. Well, no, Nehemiah didn't have his own sefer. But how bad was Nehemiah's behavior? You know, as far as we're concerned, we're in the midst of what we did. Who built this shul? You know, people go around and say, oh, I had a hand in building this shul. It was my schus that we built this shul. If a person says that, it'd be fantastic. You wouldn't call that gaiva. You would say, he's entitled to it. So what has Nehemiah done so wrong? It wasn't very wrong at all. He shouldn't suffer for too long. How long is he going to have to suffer? The suggestion is that the world is divided, the Gemara Nevo Desarza, into three periods of 2,000 years. The period of Tov, the period of Torah, and the period of Mashiach. So 2,000 years is a world. Each one is a section. How long did Nehemiah have to suffer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer on Nehemiah, you lose your sefer. But maybe he was only gozer for 2,000 years. If you take the date of Nehemiah, you'll find that printing came in exactly 2,000 years after the time when this happened in the case of Nehemiah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, Nehemiah, you had your punishment for 2,000 years, now you're going to have your name back. How am I going to get your name back? I'll tell you what, I'm going to get some goyim to start printing, and therefore you'll get your name back. And do you think goyim provided printing because there was such great goyim that they knew how to invent printing? No, they produced printing so Nehemiah should get his name back. That's a suggestion, and that therefore I'm suggesting also that the kapitlach, there must be a significance somewhere. It's up to us to try and find what it is. But be'ikah, be'etzam, we're not going to learn anything from them. We're going to go next time to the, if I'm invited next time, to say the parochim and the sedarim.